Hello and welcome everybody to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. And my name is Urban Nugent. And as always, I am delighted to share this conversation with my co-host and colleague, Bridget Tyer. Bridget, how are you doing today?
Well, I am doing terrifically, Urban. Thanks for asking. You know, this topic that we're going to discuss today is so timely because I was just talking to a couple of clients this week, earlier this week, about how often should they go into the office in order to maintain connection.
Love it. Great question.
That. Right?
Yeah.
So it. I just am so glad that we are going to have this conversation because we're going to share some interesting practical things about this notion. But Irvin, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit more about what we're really going to converse around?
Yeah, like you, Bridget, this kind of episode was born from curious questions from clients. One of my biggest clients is a totally remote organization. They do have a headquarters and people go there every often. But the daily reality is that teams are dispersed all over the place. So the conversation then is, how do we remain connected when we're apart? The episode is called Staying Connected When We're Apart and Being Resilient When Our Work Is Hybrid or Even Remote. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we went through this whole kind of pendulum swing after COVID. We went totally remote and then we felt kind of the pendulum went back and it's like, no, you've got to be in the office. And we're still in a little bit of that. But the reality is, hybrid work is here to stay because it offers the flexibility and the freedom that people want. But we also know that it has its own unique type of fatigue. And there is something about being in the same room as other people. We get subtle cues for connection. There's the shared laugh. There's this reassuring nod from someone or just a spontaneous side chat that fades away. And when that connection fades, you know, sometimes resilience fades as well. Because I think what we want to get at here is that resilience really is built into the extent of that connection. Now, surveys also are showing that this is an issue that's bubbling to the top. I remember looking recently at a Gallup poll that found over half of hybrid workers feel less connected to their culture. This is a great question. You know, if you are working hybridly, how do you feel connected to that culture?
Yeah.
They also, 1 in 3 report higher stress, emotional exhaustion than they did before the pandemic. So that's really interesting, you know? So it seems, you know, how can we build intentional rituals that build connection? Those organizations that have some form of ritual, some form of intentional connection,
yeah,
they report that there's a 20% higher level of engagement and trust. We know that hybrid work is a potential for exhaustion. It's puzzling for many leaders. And how do you build connection in this? And yet we know when it's done right, that it builds up trust and resilience. So let's dig into that and explore all the different realities of it. And I'm just curious, Bridget, just like on a personal level as a trainer and a coach, you have to work in hybrid settings as well. What have you noticed about yourself? What have you noticed about maybe the dynamic between connection and disconnection when you show up for hybrid work?
Yeah, you know, listening to you, when you made the point that resilience is connected to our level of connection with other humans, I don't think we normally think about it that way.
No, we don't. Yes.
Right? I just have to say that what came to my mind while you were talking is that one of my daughters has recently switched jobs. And she was working 100% remote. And now she goes into the office twice a week. And there's some other things going on. They do a good job onboarding and so forth. But what I have heard in her voice is an uptick in energy and an uptick in resilience. And it didn't occur to me until you were saying about how resilience is a function in part of how well connected we are, right? Because we need other humans.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But for me, you know, one of the things that I noticed, you use the word intentional. We have to be intentional in a hybrid world. And so when I started doing training virtually, boy, did I have to be super intentional about how to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
And I had to really work at that. Whereas I feel like when I'm in-person training, it's like you said, I just look at their eyes. I look at their face. I read the cues. I lean in. And so that was a real challenge. I think the other thing is that as a coach, you know, you and I historically have worked largely by phone.
Yes.
But then when COVID happened, a lot of clients just wanted to switch over to Zoom for their coaching sessions. And that wore me out. And so you mentioned a unique kind of fatigue. And I think these Zoom calls, these team meetings, one right after the other, produce a particular kind of fatigue.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think people are surprised by that. I think people expect they shouldn't be, and they're surprised by, and the research shows this, of how emotionally exhausted they are.
Yeah. And while this does give us flexibility and freedom, as you said, we do have to think about that fatigue. Yeah. You know, how do we balance, you know, that out, right?
Yep, totally. It's interesting. As I reflect, here's what I've noticed about myself in a hybrid setting is that I have to be much more actively managing my emotional self-awareness. Because boy, do I get into messages which impact my nervous system. And so if someone is not speaking or if someone hasn't their camera on, I have all this language about, oh, people are not motivated. They're not engaged. They're not liking what I'm saying. I find I'm in this churn of inner speaking much more than I would be in a meeting.
Yeah.
And I just have to kind of shut up, quiet, because it really does impact how I'm showing up. And it just, you know, creates its own energy. Maybe, Bridget, let's zoom out a little bit. I think we always try and put our topics that we discuss in a systems approach and an emotional systems approach. Yeah. So I'm curious about your thoughts about when a team is working remotely, working apart, or in a hybrid session, what is happening from a systems perspective there?
Yeah, this is such an important question because, again, I don't think it's something that we're taught, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, from a systems perspective, hybrid work doesn't just scatter people physically. It scatters the emotional field of the team.
Yeah. Wow.
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, what does that mean? Well, first of all, anxiety, which is what fuels the emotional system, the emotional field, right? Anxiety finds the empty spaces. And so when communication slows down, for whatever reason, right? People start to fill in the blanks, often with worry and assumptions, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, so-and-so didn't show up for the team's call. Oh, you know, what does all that mean? Or my boss has canceled a number of calls. I don't see him in the office, so I'm just left to wonder, you know, what's happening. And sometimes I go to the worst case scenario. The other thing is that energy becomes fragmented. And so instead of this sort of shared rhythm that you so eloquently, you know, spoke about where we're, you know, we walk by each other, we smile, we share a laugh, we notice a cue about somebody as we walk by them on the way to the restroom, right? Well, in a hybrid, each person works in their own little bubble on a lot of the days, right? And they're not aware of the larger emotional tone sometimes of the project that they're on, or certainly of the organization as a whole.
Yeah.
And so that glue, you know, that stickiness, right, that binds us together to being part of something bigger isn't there. And I think the other thing that's so important then is that presence becomes the stabilizer. Even a short, calm, transparent message from a leader can recenter the whole system and make people feel like they belong again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I love that.
This is something that I think every one of us has to remember. And that's that hybrid leadership isn't just about coordinating tasks. It's about managing emotional flow across the distance.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And it's something certainly I need to remind myself as well. And very often it's so easy when it comes to, say, leaders or managers who are talking about, you know, how do I better manage hybrid meetings? And what we're really talking about is very practical stuff, you know, agenda. Yeah. And it's really not about the emotional. And it's really a time to kind of halt and say, wait a minute, Really what's important here is what's beneath that question. What's happening? And I think that we don't spend enough time thinking about that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And we focus on that rational system stuff, right? Yes. Like the agenda and the project plans, and not on the emotional system. All right, so let's get really practical. So most leaders are working in a hybrid situation. So what can they do to actually strengthen connection and therefore resilience when teams are scattered, sometimes across time zones, right? What works?
Here's a few things that come to mind that I've either heard from clients or seen myself that works. And I think the first thing is, because of this temptation we just talked about, I think begin the meeting focusing on connection and not content.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll do this in person. We're doing this even pre-meeting anyway. We're catching up with each other. We're having little chats, et cetera, you know? Yeah. And so how do we bring that? And maybe, you know, just a check-in, you know? What's one word that describes your week? What's something that helped you recharge this week? Just something to begin with. This is connecting people. We're forming connections. Yeah. And I think that's really important, because I think what's that saying is, hey, we are humans. And we are colleagues. And part of that is we need to engage with each other. So I think that first one is start with connection. And then the second thing is, let's not pretend the fact that there is a distance here. Hybrid work is not easy. There's a reason why leaders in coaching sessions are like, well, how do I manage this? How do I do this? Because it is difficult. And I think to acknowledge the fact that at times we don't feel connected, and at times we're not together. And I think that that honesty builds trust. And just naming, you know, that feeling that people are and that the tension, et cetera, I think it opens a door to greater empathy, maybe to some problem solving, and maybe that we're not ignoring, you know, the elephant in the room at times, really inviting people. Let's just speak up here. What's not happening because of this hybrid situation? And what are some ways perhaps that we can drive better decision-making? So I think that's important.
I want to just say something before I forget it, because listening to you right there, it's reminding me of, you know how we used to always talk about, like with meetings, you want to make sure that the real meeting takes place in the meeting and not around the water cooler.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Now, of course, there's not the water cooler. What there is Slack, right? Yes. So you're in a meeting and people are getting things on Slack, you know?
Totally. In fact, it was so funny you say that. I was just in a training with an organization, and I was talking about emotional triggers. And I always like to say, you know, you have your own personal triggers. But I said, is there like an organizational trigger, you know, kind of like in a systems perspective? And they all said Slack. Yes. And it was just this emotional turmoil happening in Slack, you know, which was creating angst, et cetera. So it's really interesting. And then the third thing I would just say is creating visibility. I think you mentioned really beautifully that, you know, that there's this fragmented sense and we're over time zone, et cetera. And it's very easy for people to disappear. You know, sometimes in person, some people sit back and they don't say anything in the meeting. Well, boy, it's so much more easy in a hybrid sense to really disappear. The camera's off and you're in your bubble. But I think from the point of view that contributions sometimes can go unacknowledged.
So
I think as a leader to really be thoughtful about, am I acknowledging the contributions of people, and how can I make people feel that their contributions are important, even if they're in a different time zone or they're by themselves at hybrid at home? That's really important. And it's so easy for people to feel that they're invisible. And so can I bring visibility to everyone's contributions?
Yeah. And of course, sometimes we do want to hide out, but a leader is smart to not allow too much of that to go on, right?
Yeah. And then one other final thing I would just say is the boundary setting is so important here, that when our workplace is also our home, when our work desk is the dining room table, it is so easy for boundaries to be blurred and for people really to not take the time they need to make that differentiation. And I think that's that has to be something that people have to purposely do. Otherwise, it blurs and it becomes, we take our work into our home and it becomes so much more easy because you don't have the drive home to decompress, et cetera. It's you're walking straight into your family from a meeting and boy, the emotional contagion and exhaustion can be extreme.
Yeah. And also, Irvin, we know that so many hybrid situations involve meeting after meeting after meeting where one meeting ends at the exact time that another one begins. And it goes all day like that. Because remember, when we're in the office, at least we have to walk to the conference room.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
I think it is the most fatiguing aspect of hybrid work that leaders do not take charge of this and say there must be a break, even if it's only 5 minutes between the ending of one call and the beginning of another.
Yeah. Shout out to an organization I work with, Allidade, who actually have implemented that all meetings end on the hour and start 5 minutes after the hour. They have intentionally built in a 5 minute meeting. I think that's so incredibly important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So Bridget, I'm curious, anything else you want to add to that list?
It's such a good list. I really like the very first thing that you said, which is to begin the meetings with connection, not task. Mm. And I would just add to that and say to all of our listeners to invest in rituals of connection that work for you. You know, everybody's a little different, right? Yep. And so find out from your colleagues what works for them. When you participate in meetings, notice the people who do really well at that and then develop, you know, your own, because rituals are like the heartbeat of hybrid teams, because that's what creates belonging.
Yeah.
Right. Across. Culture. Remember we said the emotional system is scattered, right? So whatever that is, you know, I've heard people do like a quick gratitude round at the end of the week. I've had teams do a shared team playlist, which I think is awesome. You know, some leaders have instituted virtual coffee chats where they pair people up to have moments of connection through the week. So whatever you find you can do authentically, incorporate those. It's really, really important. And you know, the only other thing, and this is just really a reinforcement of something we've said before, which is communicate early and often in a hybrid situation. That's even more important.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean adding more meetings. It just means making sure there's consistency in your connection.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The first thing you mentioned there about the rituals, it kind of brings up something that I see with some teams and others. I think there's an awkwardness about being on a Teams or a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And I think those rituals break that awkwardness down. And I think you know you're in the presence of a team that have broken that down. Whenever you come in to a meeting, the meeting starts and there's banter. People are bantering back and forth. And there's conversation. And it's almost like they were there in person. That team has worked to get at that. That just didn't happen naturally. They've actually worked to get there. And I think that's what you're really trying to get at.
Yes. I love that.
So Bridget, I'm curious then, let's move to maybe some leaders who we think might have struck a good balance here in the world of hybrid work. So when you think about that, is there anyone that comes to mind for you?
Yeah. And actually, this is because I read an article recently about this person, and some of our listeners are going to recognize this. This is the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella. You know, during the height of the pandemic, I mean, just like all leaders, he faced this enormous challenge of how are we going to do work, in a virtual world. But he had 180,000 employees scattered across the globe overnight. Mm. Think about that, where they kind of had this vibrant campus-based environment, and then everybody, right, is virtual. And I think what stood out to me from the article that I read is that he mostly responded with presence. Mm. You know, he recognized that his presence was going to be incredibly important in creating that connection that we're talking about and creating that sense of belonging. And he was very open about the struggles of the situation. You know, he didn't pretend like it wasn't really, really difficult. So I think he led with a great deal of empathy during that time. But one of the questions he asked all of his leaders during this time was, how are we helping our people feel that they are part of something bigger than themselves. Mm. Because it's both connection and belonging that in a hybrid world suffers, I think, the most,
yes.
Right?
Yes, you can feel lost. That's what a powerful question. That really gets to that whole not feeling part of a bigger culture.
Yeah, and this notion of, as we said earlier, that people are working in their own bubbles a lot of time in a hybrid world. And so after a while, even though we love the freedom and flexibility of that, we lose something so very important to us if we're not intentional about this, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So what about you? Is there an example that comes to mind for you?
You know, there is one. It was a CEO I was working with of a healthcare organization. And this is a situation I think that can be quite common for certain organizations. And so it was a healthcare organization. And there was a split kind of in the employees. Part of the employees were on-site clinicians. So they had certain healthcare centers, and these were people that were working in person every day, but they were supported by an administrative team who were all remote. So it's an interesting situation here. You had an on-site team and you had a remote team.
For sure.
And what was happening was that over time, frustration was building up between those on the front line and those who were remote, who felt disconnected and undervalued.
Yeah.
That basically there was a feeling that basically they weren't as important as the people who were showing up every day in the front line. And so tension was very high and there was an exhaustion. And the CEO, you know, was trying to, you know, well, how do I improve this, or how do I deal with the situation? And, you know, one way I think we could have gone into the thinking of, you know, well, we need better policies, or we need tighter reporting, or, you know, there's different ways of going around this. But I think, you know, they came to that fundamental question is, you know, what are we missing emotionally? This is an emotional problem.
Yeah.
This is not about an operational. This is about our feelings. This is about belonging and feeling ignored. And they really were diagnosed that really well. You know, he said, you know, what's coming up here? And I think where he went was people were not listening to each other's stories.
Hmm.
And so how do I build a ritual, which is what you said, or a way? And what he did is he used to have these pulse huddles. Mm-hmm. And so every Friday, two employees, one from on-site, one from the remote, shared a short story about something that went right for them this week.
Hmm.
And it wasn't about slides or metrics. It was just gratitude and connection. At first, you know, kind of we got the awkwardness and people go, oh my God, do I have to? And really, and people were quiet and cautious. But, you know, within a few weeks, things changed. Cameras came on. People began chatting and people were laughing. You know, there was some shared kind of commonality. And one veteran nurse actually said to him, this is the first time I felt that my story mattered.
Ooh.
And then he said, you know, and it goes back to the very beginning of our conversation today, Bridget. He said, I used to think that resilient meant pushing through fatigue.
Oh.
And he said, now I know it's all about staying connected.
Ooh.
Which I thought was powerful, you know, so often, especially in the healthcare system, which was so beat up during COVID. You know, it is about endurance. It's about getting up when we feel knocked down. No, it's not. It's really fundamentally about how do we stay connected through the shared challenge that we're facing. And I think that's so important.
Wow. What an incredible example. I mean, so resilience is not about pushing through fatigue. It's about staying connected.
Mm.
That's really powerful. We all know how to push through fatigue. Okay.
Yep.
Professionals know how to do that. And times call for that. But that's not a sustainable in and of itself, right? Because we're more than just pushing through fatigue.
Yeah.
And what connection does for humans, because of the way we're wired, is that it brings energy back into the self and back into the system.
Yeah.
And then that fuels resilience.
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful example.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think they're both great examples. You know, one is a major CEO from a global company. The other is a more local example, you know, a smaller organization. But I think, you know, I think for what's interesting about both is that it's a reminder that resilience isn't built by these huge mega gestures. It's often built on gentle presence, on our empathy, on building rhythm. And whether you're leading like in the Microsoft 180,000 people, or you're leading a small company of 18 or a team of 10, you know, what matters most in this hybrid setting is that the people around you feel that you're with them, even if you're apart. It's not always easy, but I think to primarily look at that emotional system and really nurture that, tend to that, then I think that will enable you to make sure that the culture is felt by everyone, even in a hybrid setting.
Yeah, I love that. So listeners, you know, if you want to leave with a really practical question for how do you make hybrid work, which is just to occasionally ask yourself this question about whatever team you're leading, how can I strengthen connection and enhance a sense of belonging beyond our screens?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Irvin. This was a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, thank you as well for this conversation. Yeah.
And intimately practical.
Yes, very practical. Yes. So thank you, everyone. If you would love to subscribe, please do so. If you want to share this episode, boy, I bet you in your network, if you're not going through the hybrid question, you have fellow workers who are, please feel free to share this episode. And the next time if someone asks, you know, oh, how can I improve the hybrid work environment, share this episode with them as well. And if you have ideas for future programs, let us know. And until the next time, thanks everyone and goodbye.
Take care.